From the NFL to Ames, we'll talk all about it. And the Cedar Rapids Colonel sprinkled in there as well. Mike Halas from Cedar Rapids Gazette will be joining us, and we will talk Iowa and Iowa State. He is there, of course, and other assorted sports items with Mike. That'll be coming up in just a little bit. We'll take your phone calls and texts about Iowa and Iowa State and the weekend that was in the world of sports. We'll let you know how Carl and Ernie's pick six went as well. All that coming up. Gym Class is next here on KGYM. And welcome aboard, everyone. Scott Unash alongside Mark Dukes, former sports editor of the Cedar Rapids Gazette. Gym Class getting ready to come your way here on KGYM for a Monday, the 11th of September. And, of course, everybody with 9/11 in the back of their mind here today. And, yes, don't forget, certainly. That is the moral of the story here today. And even though the years keep progressing on, everyone has a... has that in the back of their minds. And again, just to keep that in your thoughts here today. We're going to talk Iowa and Iowa State. We'll wrap that up from the weekend on Saturday over in Ames, and what a game it was. And we'll get more thoughts on that coming up here in just a little bit. NFL football debuted yesterday in earnest, and we will talk about that, kind of talk about the Midwest teams a little bit and maybe grade them out. As such, Cedar Rapids Colonels with the Do or Die Game 3 coming up tonight, and that will be here in town beginning at 6:30 this evening out of Veterans Memorial Stadium as they take on the Quad Cities River Bandits, and that should be a very, very fun and exciting atmosphere coming up this evening. And Mark, a lot to get to here on a Monday. Good afternoon.
Yeah, you put a bow on it pretty well, from Ames to the NFL to the Colonels to Carl and Ernie's pick six. Quite a weekend.
Yeah, it was quite a weekend indeed. And also should not forget all the people down in Florida affected by Hurricane Irma that went through, of course, continues to go through, and cleanup is underway down there. And football games, baseball games that are being moved, canceled, whatever the case may be. The game that we were going to have Saturday night between Florida and or Miami and Florida State has been pushed back a little bit, so they have changed that game. You'll now hear Texas and USC coming up on Saturday night from ESPN in lieu of that game that was to take place down in Florida. So our thoughts and prayers continue with those folks down there. A lot of people around here are affected by that. A lot of relatives down there. Plus, we have a lot of snowbirds that are down there, either full-time or part-time down in that part of Florida.
No question about it. Just watching the destruction from Irma is just incredible. And I know a lot of us went through that in 2008 in a different form with the floods. But, yeah, you can't help but feel for the folks that are going to go through a long, long process of recovery. It's not going to happen overnight. You mentioned some of the sports that are affected. That's certainly a minor deal in terms of what's going on down there. Tennessee is supposed to play at Florida on Saturday as well, and I think that game is in limbo.
Or talking about moving it maybe to Atlanta, but we will see how that all plays out. I think a former colleague of ours reported that it was going to be moved to Atlanta. Mm. The first big SEC game of the year, that one between Tennessee and Florida. So we'll find more about that coming up throughout the days lying ahead. First thing to let you know about, we found out, I like this better. Instead of the 7-day window, we now have a 12-day window as far as Big Ten football games are concerned. Announcement made about noontime today. If you are an Iowa season ticket holder or have tickets to see Iowa Penn State, it's going to be a night game at Kinnick Stadium. ABC will be picking that up, and that is going to be, it's a little bit earlier than the usual ABC night game, 6:35 or thereabouts with the kickoff. Actually, I think about 6:40, but it will be a primetime game at Kinnick Stadium between Iowa and Penn State. ABC is anticipating the fact they are both going to be undefeated, and I got to think that that is going to be the case for the first Big Ten football game of the year.
Penn State with Georgia State this week, and Iowa with North Texas. 2:35 kick at Kinnick Stadium this coming Saturday. Iowa's done quite well at night. I think it has won four in a row, if I'm not mistaken. And that should be a heck of an atmosphere.
Should be, as Iowa takes on Penn State. And, of course, last time the Nittanies were pretty high in the polls, Iowa pulled off a little bit of a stunner. I believe that was a night game as well at Kinnick Stadium down in Iowa City. So we'll see how that all plays out. Iowa State, you can hear from head coach Matt Campbell coming up tonight, and that will be on the Cyclone Sideline Call-In Show, and that will be at 7 o'clock on 1600 AM coming up tonight. It's brought to you by Lisa Nolan, a REMAX Real Estate Concepts Realtor, online at lisanolanrealtor.com. And Matt Campbell tonight. Kind of interested to see what he has to say. Said a few very, he said all the right things on Saturday. Disappointed, yes, but wants to see how his football team will react after the loss to the Iowa Hawkeyes, and you'll hear more from the coach tonight at 7 o'clock. We've got the second of the doubleheader tonight on 107.5 and 106.3 FM of the first Monday night of the year. Game number two will be, yes, your L.A. Chargers at Invesco at Mile High, or whatever in the world they're calling it these days, to take on the Denver Broncos. It will be weird to see L.A. Chargers tonight a lot, but that's what we have in this world in 2017.
Speaking of Monday Night Football, Cajun Troy on the text line, 47-74. She is in Minneapolis for the game tonight. Who dat?
Who dat?
Hey, guys, I hope my Saints play well like the Chiefs and Bears.
I hope Adrian Peterson plays really well, Troy. If you can somehow get AP to score about, two or three touchdowns, maybe one of them on a big passing play, I would really appreciate it tonight if you could talk to him.
That's our Jerry Ask Investment Services text line, 319-366-1600. That's also our phone line. Kyle Mann, as usual, behind the glass, producing the show today.
We have a Dr. Pepper prize pack today and all this week. Thanks to Steve, everybody at Dr. Pepper for helping us out with that. These are extremely popular, and why not? It includes a 24-pack of regular Dr. Pepper or Diet Dr. Pepper, Dr. Pepper swag, plus some KGYM swag, and also a KGYM pint glass for you to enjoy your ice-cold Dr. Pepper in. So it's great for football, tailgate, whatever the case may be, for the night game at Kinnick Stadium, or the 2:30 start against North Texas, whatever the case may be. Ice-cold Dr. Pepper. I sound like Larry Culpepper, don't I? The guy giving away the hawker of Dr. Pepper. That was a bad impression, but you get where I'm going at here. Thank you very much, Steve.
An instant classic in Ames Saturday, certainly. That's the subject of our poll question at KGYMradio.com, brought to you by Emo's Hideaway. Was Saturday's Cy-Hawk game the best one of the modern era? Yes or no? Thanks to Emo's Hideaway, First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids, next to Home Depot, and behind Taco John's.
Well, that's a good jumping-off point, I think, to start off the discussion here today. And if you'd like to chime in about Iowa and Iowa State, now that we've had 2 days to kind of let it percolate, 319-366-1600, I don't think it lessened the greatness of the game. But that's tough. That is a tough question. You had the 2011 triple overtime game that also ended up 44-41, ending in that same vicinity in the end zone, except with Iowa State getting the win in that one. I go back, though, to 2002. That's what I go back to. That terrific game between the Iowa Orange Bowl team, the Seneca Wallace-led Iowa State team. Iowa's only loss, had a pretty substantial lead at halftime, and then Seneca Wallace just came storming back and led Iowa State to the win in that one. That was a pretty special game.
I tend to agree with you. And you know, we tend to live in the here and now also. And just 2 days ago, you know, folks were saying pretty much that, at least some folks, you know, that it was the best one in the modern era. It might be three.
It's one of those three, I would say.
2002 was exceptional. The triple overtime game, does that rank ahead or behind this past one? Maybe neck and neck?
And should we be ranking these games? I mean, it's what we do in 2017. That's what Sports Talk Radio does. We rank these things. I don't know if we should rank them or not, but that's what we do. And I guess with, you know, if I had to, I would go with 2002 as the best game that I've seen between Iowa and Iowa State.
Mike Halas, is that sports columnist in the On Deck circle, perhaps he'd want to take a swing at that one.
Yeah, we'll ask him about it.
Yeah.
We will. We'll ask him about it. Anything changed in your mind since we had the after the final gun here in the studio? And thank you for the calls and comments on that. We had a great 90 minutes or so talking about Iowa and Iowa State, but from both Hawkeye and Cyclone perspectives out there, I don't think a lot has changed in my mind. I still think these are two pretty good teams that can get better. They're not perfect, certainly, at this point. Nathan Stanley, by the way, co-Big Ten defensive or offensive player of the week this week for his play against Iowa State, the 5 touchdowns, the over 300 yards. Still room to grow, I think, as far as that is concerned. Iowa defense certainly has room to grow after what happened in that game on Saturday, and same thing, I think, for Iowa State.
I guess my main takeaway is Iowa State is much better than it was last year at this point in the season. It started to turn some things around late last season. It's still got some defensive issues and got an injury or two in the defensive backfield that will not help. In terms of Iowa, I'm more confused than ever. I mean, coming out of the Wyoming game, by the way, Wyoming didn't exactly crush Gardner-Webb over the weekend, 27-0. But coming out of the Wyoming game, we're gushing about the Iowa defense, curious about the Iowa offense and its lack of production. And Saturday in Ames, it was just the opposite. Iowa's offense, by and large, clicked, except for the opening series of each half. And the defense had its issues. A lot of that credit to Iowa State, because that's a dynamic offense that's going to give a lot of folks problems, including those long wide receivers, and David Montgomery is terrific.
If Akeem Butler had caught that pass in overtime, we may still be playing right now. It might still be going on. 319-366-1600 if you'd like to chime in. I think this is a very good Iowa State team. And with just the snapshot of what's going on in the Big 12 right now, Baylor is a dumpster fire at this point. Kansas is Kansas. And Texas goes to USC coming up on Saturday. We'll have that game for you here on KGYM. Iowa State, I think they can get Texas. Texas made a lot of improvement, especially on the defensive side against a lesser opponent last weekend. Still, you got to think Iowa State's got to win against Texas. They got to win against Texas Tech. One of those two for sure if they want to get to 6. This year, it's going to be awful tough with Oklahoma and Oklahoma State. Oklahoma looked really, really good Saturday night. And Ohio State did not look really good, but I think you got to give Oklahoma. We talked about this before we went on. How many programs would there be a doubt right now about a Heisman Trophy candidate going into the season being benched? But JT Barrett right now, there's a chance. There's talk in Columbus that he should be benched at this point. Do whatever you have to do right there and come up with some way to try to put that into a proper...
What about that vaunted defense that wasn't so vaunted for Ohio State?
They bent. They didn't break. I mean, Oklahoma could add 2 or 3 more touchdowns in that game. I thought Baker Mayfield was really good.
Yeah.
If he learns footwork, man alive, watch out, because half the passes he throws, he's cross-footed, he's leaning the wrong way, and he's still got a good enough arm that he can zing it in there.
He knows how to plant a flag, too, doesn't he?
What'd you think about that?
I thought it was cool.
Boy.
College kids. I suppose some folks in Columbus were offended.
You suppose?
You think if JT Barrett would have done that last year in Norman? Maybe they did.
Ohio State sang the Ohio State alma mater in Norman. And apparently that didn't go real well with the OU people. I guess turnabout's fair play. Am I right on this? I don't think I want to have somebody do something after every game in the, you know, in the verse of sportsmanship here, but based on what Ohio State did last year.
I don't think it was being a bad sport. Do you?
It was.
It's thrown in, thrown in the face of the Buckeyes. I understand that.
Right.
That's a big win.
It's a huge win. Big 12 needed that win.
Yeah.
Really needed that win. And Oklahoma and Oklahoma State are pretty darn good. I don't think Kansas State's a bad team either. And West Virginia bounced back after the loss to Virginia Tech and looked pretty decent. So there's some good schools, good programs at the top of the Big 12 right now.
A lot of texts rolling in on the Iowa State game. Let's get to a couple here. 21-36. I thought both teams played a very good game for this early in the year. The Hawkeyes just executed a little better at the end of the game. I also thought the Hawkeye play calling on the day was stellar. Best game in a long time, but tough to call it the best in the modern era.
I can see that.
74-09. As much as I hated it, 2002 was the tops. What a second half performance.
Yeah.
11-43, I would say if you're an Iowa fan, Saturday's game. If you're an Iowa State fan, you would like to say 2002.
2002 was just a terrific game. All around. With how many pros were on the field that day in 2002?
Manny.
That's what sticks in my mind about that particular ballgame.
65-98, a great game. A shame either team had to lose, but glad the Hawkeyes won. The Cyclones will win some games this season.
Yes, they will. Yes, they will. 319-366-1600. Keep them coming in here at 20 minutes past the hour of 3 o'clock. By the way, good win for the UNI Panthers as well as UNI got the victory at home over Cal Poly, who suddenly turned into a passing juggernaut on Saturday night, bringing in the vaunted triple option offense from the West Coast and from the Big Sky Conference. And UNI needed that win. They had lost that one and been 0-2 with what they had coming up in the Missouri Valley Football Conference. That would have been bad. And now Cal Poly, who's a perennial as well, is 0-3 on the year without their number one running back, who did not play in the game against UNI on Saturday night. Congratulations to Jared Farley, who was named the Co-Missouri Valley Conference Defensive Player of the Week. 11 tackles and a fumble return for a touchdown in that game of 48 yards on Saturday night. So that was pretty cool.
Yeah, very entertaining game in Cedar Falls, and I think you hit it on the head. You and I really needed that because the road ahead in the valley is none too easy.
No, it is not. 319-366-1600, and we'll be talking with Michael Oss coming up here in just a little bit. We'll kick around some NFL football coming up before we hit 4 o'clock as well. And don't want to forget about that. Or the Carl Nerney's pick six results. We don't want to forget about those, Mark.
You want to get to those now?
Sure.
I believe John is the big winner because he rode the coattails of Mr. Scott Unash. Unash, Alex, and Kyle all 4-2 on the week. Everybody overshot the tiebreaker, which was Alan Lazard receiving yards. It was under 30, wasn't it?
Two touchdowns.
The big news is the gym class gained 4 games on the Todd Brommelkamp show with Alex Kuhn, extending the lead this early in the season to 6 games. Todd Brommelkamp very happy about Nebraska's comeback and Oregon stepping off the gas in Eugene.
Yes, they did.
Todd, his lone win was Nebraska to cover Oregon, so
they're not partying in Kearney this week.
No, I was 3-3, and Sean, great sponsor, 2-4. So onward to next week,
and we'll have another edition of the Carl Nerney's Pick Six coming your way on Friday here for you on KGYM. We will take a break. Come back. Mike Halas will join us on the other side. The sports columnist for the Cedar Rapids Gazette. He was in Ames on Saturday. His thoughts about Iowa and Iowa State when we return after this. You're listening to the Gym Class on KGYM.
On every job site, the formula is the same. Less downtime equals more profit. Reduce that downtime with top-notch machinery from Star Equipment, like the JLG engine-powered boom lifts that will make those hard-to-reach jobs a breeze. These units are equipped with sky power so you can run equipment in the air. And for the greatest horizontal reach, a telescopic boom lift will put you right where you need to be. Rent or buy from Star Equipment and improve your job site profits. Star Equipment, Iowa born in 1968. StarEquip.com.
Football is a fast and rough and tumble game. In many ways, it's a lot like your business. You need the right game plan and team to win in business. Network Computer Solutions is your bench when it comes to the tech issues that can make the difference between winning and losing. Call NCS at 247-7223, 247-7223, and put them on your IT team. NCS is your big-time IT department at a fraction of the cost. Network Computer Solutions, they're the missing piece to your IT puzzle.
Was testing its emergency alert system equipment.
This has been a test of the emergency alert system.
First Federal Credit Union is proud to present Corridor High School Athletics on the Gym. First Federal Credit Union, financial solutions for the way you live. FirstFedCU.com.
Member NCUA and equal housing lender.
Back with you at 325. It is a gym class coming your way on a Monday here at KGYM. Cal Eldred will join us coming up tomorrow. We'll talk baseball with Cal. Congratulations, by the way, to the Washington Nationals. They are the first team to clinch a playoff spot. They did so over the weekend with their 20-game lead right now. Think about that.
A lot going on in Major League Baseball. The Indians going for their 19th straight victory tonight.
That's almost 3 weeks of winning.
The Dodgers reeling. A month or 6 weeks ago, we thought they were invincible.
And they still have a pretty darn good record, but man alive.
They've gone from about 20 games up to 9.
Yeah, because coinciding with that, the Arizona Diamondbacks have been on a big-time roll. And boy, oh boy, did the NL Central get real interesting over the weekend. With the Cardinals and the Brewers, both with sweeps, and the Brewers with the sweep of the Cubs in Wrigley Field. And Cubs play the Mets starting tomorrow, but then the Cardinals and the Cubs get together at Wrigley. Cubs need to make some hay in this upcoming homestand, because after that they will have, I want to say, 10 of the final 13 on the road, including games at Milwaukee and at St. Louis. So, and it's going to be more than likely winner of the NL Central will be going head-to-head with Washington.
Yeah, Colorado 3 games up on Milwaukee and St. Louis right now for that second wild card spot, along with Arizona. The American League wild card continues to be very, very interesting. The Twins 1 game ahead of the Angels, and 2 or 3, 4 other teams breathing down their neck. So it's going to be a fantastic finish.
Yeah, it is. And getting down to the final 3 weeks of the baseball season. And, oh, by the way, Colonels, game 3 tonight as the Colonels will take on Quad Cities at 6:30. And a winner-take-all Western Division final coming up tonight. So best of luck to Tommy Watkins. And I know Tommy's got other things on his mind, too. About game time yesterday, Irma was hitting Fort Myers where his family is at. And that had to be tough. And a lot of major leaguers, a lot of football players going through that as well. So hopefully everybody made it through there. Mike Halas set to join us right now at 3:27. You can follow him on Twitter at Halas. Also go to thegazette.com, and you can see all his terrific writing, and as well as everybody from the Gazette, all the great articles that they have and columns up there. And, Mike, good afternoon. How are you doing on this Monday?
I'm all right. How are you?
Boy, I'm still trying to get over the game on Saturday. That was, as Keith Jackson might say, that was a humdinger.
Yeah, Keith would have enjoyed that one.
He would have.
No question.
Well,
Musburger would have enjoyed that one. The AP National College Football writer Ralph Russo does a nice job for them. It was well before the game was over, and he tweeted, "Who knew that Iowa State would be the game of the day?"
I was just going to say, first of all, Brent Musburger would only have joined it if he had money on the team that came out on the spread. Secondly, ESPN, even that night, was saying that was the game of the day between Iowa and Iowa State.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it just was. It was. It's like you alluded to when I first got on. It's Monday, and you still don't really have your arms wrapped around that thing. There's a whole lot to consider and consume.
Well, we talked about our poll question, Mike. Let's take it a step further. Was it the best one of the modern era?
We forget, you know. It's mm-hmm. human nature, we forget. But the only game that I would put it on a par with is 2002 in Iowa City.
That's what we were saying.
I mean, yeah, they had a triple overtime game over there 6 years ago, but it wasn't a great game. And the score is misleading. It was the same 44-41 score. But that's because I think one team had 20 points in the overtime and the other had 17 or something like that. This was some, you know, Ollie Frazier. I mean, it was, you know, punch for punch. And the volume of sensational plays, haven't seen anything like that in very many games at all, let alone this series.
I don't know where you start, Mike, because you've got, a tremendously improved Iowa State team from last year. On the Iowa side, Nate Stanley, co-offensive player of the week in the Big Ten, but you got Akram Wadley, yards after catch, huge. A true freshman stepping up with the game-winning catch. What do you think stood out the most to you?
That's hard. I want to say Stanley not coming unglued when the team was down 10 points in the fourth quarter. You know, I mean, he missed on some shots, missed on some long passes, and then you get down 10, and I think there's a lot of quarterbacks, both veterans and new guys, who would really press in that spot. You know, down 10 points in the fourth quarter on the road? That's the first time Iowa has ever come back from a double-digit fourth-quarter deficit in Ferentz's 19 years.
Wow.
It's hard. You know, they did it at home a few times, but doing it on the road, that's tough stuff against a team that's got, you know, was playing with fire and momentum. So I would lean toward that, but then individual performances. Stanley was the co-Big Ten Offensive Player of the Week, but, boy, you look at what Wadley did, and it's, you know, I mean, his touchdown was enough all by itself, but he had, I mean, counting return yardage, he had like 260 all-purpose yards. That's pretty large.
I found it really interesting that Amir Smith-Marset, by the way, the same high school as Akram Wadley, apparently didn't spend much, if any, time in the doghouse after laying the football on the ground in the opener.
Right. And you know what? That's good coaching. That's a good coaching decision. I asked Ferentz about that after the game, and he said there's just, you know, that we never had any intention of, he didn't use the term doghouse, but of, you know, putting him on the shelf. There's just something about him we like, and we are very confident that he can make plays. And plus, he's a good blocker, I guess, which is part of the reason why he's playing in the first place. His first touchdown catch was sensational.
Mm-hmm.
It is as good a touchdown catch as Iowa has had in the last 10 years, and there have been some. But you can watch that over and over and over again on video, and just every time it's going to elicit a wow. It was a play that Iowa State, I don't care how good the defense was, it couldn't have stopped. It had to be a perfect throw. It was. It had to be a great catch. It was.
Along those lines, are you, Mike, or any of your colleagues, what's the right word for it, annoyed that Kirk Ferentz won't allow true freshmen available to the media?
Well, it's been going on so long now that
Yeah.
Accept it. They got comments from Smith Marset after the game and provided them to reporters. I don't understand it myself. I never have. If you're going to let somebody perform in front of 60, 70,000 people, how come they can't talk? But, you know, that's what he does, and he's not going to change in all likelihood. So for me to complain about it, you know, I can't say I care a whole lot. I thought it was weird that they didn't bring Keith Duncan down after he made the field goal that beat Michigan. It's like, make an exception.
These are game winners.
Yeah, you know. And the same could have been done for Smith Marset. And it's like, okay, this one time, and you tell the kid, be careful what you say. But you want to find out who is the face and the voice behind the person making the play. But, you know. All right.
Seniors say stupid things for crying out loud.
Yeah, well, we all do.
51-year-olds say stupid things.
In a moment of glory and emotion, you know, you never know. I mean, Duncan isn't playing now. That was his chance to sort of revel in it to the world. And, I know he had a great weekend, but okay. Opportunity missed, in my opinion.
Yeah, I kind of agree with you on that. Maybe making an exception or two if the circumstance allows it anyway. But from the Iowa perspective as well, injuries. Ike Butker looks like he might be out for the year. We haven't heard officially as of yet. And now shuffling along the line again, Jackson probably in at left tackle. A lot of speculation of Tristan Wirfs going to get the red shirt pulled off at this point. I think they'd like to keep it on. I mean, I'm not in the coaching meetings or anything like that, but from what I've heard anyway, they would like to keep that red shirt on for him. But you never know if there's another injury. I think they're going to have their hand forced a little bit up there.
I think you're right. You know, they're only two games in, and they've lost an integral part of that line. Ike has been a 3-year starter, good player. Just, you know, the risk of being trite, it's like that's football. It just happens too often. So it's not like Iowa's never dealt with losing an offensive lineman before, and you fill voids and shuffle things around, but two games in, there are only so many pieces. So whereas I would have wondered about Wirfs playing this year, before Saturday, now I think that it's certainly a possibility.
Well, I think last year there was 7, 8, 9 different starting offensive lines, and so they somehow got through the season last year, so it's kind of similar in that regard. Mike, I wanted to ask...
And the freshman Jackson has done a really nice job, I think.
Yeah. Between the two teams, Iowa and Iowa State, which team do you think has the hardest time recovering from a hangover?
Well, the thing about this week is Iowa is in a much better situation. They're at home against a pretty ordinary team in North Texas. And with the home crowd and the talent difference, you'll be fine.
Mm-hmm.
Iowa State's got more of a challenge. It goes to Akron, and Akron's no world beater. I mean, they lost 52-0 at Penn State in the first week. They come back and play, I don't remember who it was, some FCS team at home Saturday and clobbered them. But you know how it goes. These MAC teams playing one of the big boys at home, they get all cranked up. And Matt Campbell knows that as well as anybody because he was at Toledo, and they did just that. They went down to Arkansas, and they popped Bielema's guys in 2015. But I think that's a good thing for Iowa State because Campbell and his staff know what they're going into. Very familiar with the environment. They know the attitude Akron will have for that game. And I like Campbell's approach. Campbell is, just reading his comments today, he seems like, okay, we're already putting Saturday behind us. We've got great opportunities ahead. Let's go get it.
Yeah. Well, that's the way you got to approach the situation. And how about Iowa State? Your thoughts? From Iowa State, 365 odd days ago, getting clocked in Iowa City, 42-3, to what they look like at Jack Trice on Saturday. Granted, at home, but still, I mean, the turnover was just amazing. And I've said it before. John Walters has said it before. He said last year they didn't have Big 12 guys. You looked on the field, and there weren't Big 12 guys out there for the most part. He said, looking out there this year, there are Big 12 players out there.
Yeah, and that's just in 1 year's time. What about next year? And what about 2 years from now? I think their future is really promising. And I've been saying that for quite some time now. I think they got the right guy as head coach. And this didn't start Saturday or the week before against you and I when they did a really nice job of taking control of that game. The second half of last year, they were playing good ball against good teams. You know, they didn't win all those games, obviously, but they competed. And they beat Texas Tech 66-10, which was a signal that, you know what, somebody's not terribly intimidated by the Big 12, and I think that's Campbell. The talent level is better now. I think that the defense has got a long way to go, but it has made a lot of progress, and there are players there who are to be liked. That Marcel Spears at linebacker had like 17 tackles and just made some terrific plays. And Joel Lanning at linebacker, I thought, well, okay, the first game he made some plays, but maybe he gets exposed. And I'm sure he did on a number of plays, but he also made a number of plays, and he's simply a football player. So, you know, they're not going to win the Big 12. But they are going to compete in the Big 12. And I think that this is going to be a fun team to watch.
Well, for what it's worth, and it's not worth a lot, ESPN's bowl projections today had Iowa going to the holiday, and they have Iowa State now going to the, I believe, the Cactus Bowl. So,
well, I mean, you know what? Iowa State's got one thing in front of it, and that's Akron. And if you stumble in that game, what you've done in the first 2 weeks of the season sort of dissolves and you take a step backwards. And so they beat Akron, and then, okay, that's two wins, and you go from there. The week after that, they've got Texas at home on a Thursday night. And if they win this week, that atmosphere over there a week from Thursday, or the Thursday night of the game, I should say, should be a lot of fun.
This might be a bit of a reach, Mike, but was Akram Wadley the best running back on the field Saturday?
You know, I wouldn't say anybody was better than him, but what David Montgomery did in his own right, I think, was equally admirable. Montgomery didn't have Wadley's offensive line, and there were a lot of plays on the ground where Iowa State just got stopped. But he made plays. I mean, he had over 100 rushing yards. His 7-yard touchdown run was just – that was another one. Watch it and rewatch it on video, and it's like, what a play.
Josie Jewell doesn't want to see it.
No, no. Jewell admitted he got second best out there. He said he had a bad game, which...
For him, yes.
I would take that with a grain of salt, but he believes that, which is why he's great. But Montgomery had like 160-some total yards rushing and receiving.
Mm-hmm.
A sophomore, I think a special player. I really do. And Iowa State's got to enjoy having that guy around for a while.
Yeah, a couple more years anyway. Mike Kolas joining us, 3:42, Monday edition of the Gym Class on KGYM. You wrote in your column that this series should never end, or thereabouts anyway. I tend to agree with you. I think it's great for the state of Iowa, no matter if it was a humdinger like it was on Saturday, or maybe if it's not quite as an exciting of a game. But the atmosphere in Ames, you were right there on Saturday, carnival-like. Why get rid of this thing?
Who are you going to play instead? That's a question I always come back to.
Oh, don't open up that can of worms.
I know. Okay, well, all right, never mind that. It's this business about nothing to gain and everything to lose. Is that the attitude of a competitor? That's not the Iowa football program's attitude about the game. It's like, we don't want to have people speculate who's the best. Let's play the game and find out the best in the state. Secondly, they've been playing it for over 40 years in a row now. If you stop playing it, especially after Saturday's game, but let's say Iowa State gets to the point where it's a bowl team consistently. If you stop playing that game, people in 49 states and a lot of this one would say, why would you do that?
Or you're running.
Yeah, I mean, people who watch that game Saturday on ESPN2 in, say, Connecticut or, you know, New Mexico, wherever they were who watched that game, said to themselves, wow, that's pretty good. You know, I bet they were sucked into it. The people who say you've got nothing to gain, I don't think that the coaches and players look at it that way, and those are the ones I would listen to.
My friends in California didn't get to see the end of the game, Mike. I don't know if you knew that, but 2 minutes left in the game, regulation, ESPN2 went to Alabama, Fresno State on the West Coast. Not making that few very happy out there.
I know that Alabama is a marquee program, but are the people in California that clamoring for Fresno State?
What, if anything, stood out to you in the Big Ten or Big 12 over the weekend, Mike? We had a premier matchup between the two conferences in Oklahoma and Ohio State.
Yeah, listen to some of that coming home. And really surprised. Not surprised that Oklahoma competed. And it's certainly not a miracle that it won, but how it controlled that game.
Yeah, they dominated.
Wow. Yeah, wow. And Baker Mayfield moves right into that Heisman discussion. I mean, he was already there in the top five, I guess. But that was one of those games that stamps you as legit and keeps you in that conversation for a long time, if not the whole year. It's kind of like Josh Allen. Wyoming didn't play well at Iowa offensively, and Josh Allen is no longer a Heisman guy. Well, Mayfield goes to Ohio State. And I'm for real. I am for real in this thing, and super impressive. Also, TCU going to Arkansas winning big surprised me. That's nice. Big Ten, some of the lesser Big Ten programs seem to be making quick improvement.
Yeah, P.J. Fleck boat raced Oregon State on Saturday night.
Yeah, they played smash-mouth football, and they just ran right over them. And that, I know Oregon State's not much, but you're talking about a two-time zone trip. You're talking about playing at what essentially is 9:30 at night, your time. And they dominated. You know, they only threw the ball eight times. They just said, okay, pound, you can't stop us, and they didn't. Illinois held Western Kentucky to 7 points. Western Kentucky was the nation's top scoring team last year. Indiana won at Virginia handily. Purdue, they played a MAC team Friday night, but they won big, and they did it with a lot of flair. They had a double reverse flea flicker. You know, that was more fun in one play than they've had in the last 2 years. So those programs are coming up. Maryland's off to a great start. That's kind of been my surprising thing. And then on the other end, Northwestern, really not good.
Yeah, they looked horrible. And then Rutgers lost to Eastern Michigan.
Yeah, really, 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 really not good.
No, not good at all. Not good at all right there. But Iowa, North Texas and Iowa coming up. Penn State, a night game. I don't think anybody's really surprised about that being announced today.
No, I mean, it's going to have all the elements you want. Two teams that are 3-0. Penn State with a whole lot of cachet after what it did last season. Marquee players on Penn State's team with Saquon Barkley and Trace McSorley. Iowa with a serious revenge motive. You know, we'll talk at the death next week, but just looking ahead right now, I think it's got about everything you want for a September game.
You mean we're not going to talk 20 minutes on North Texas next week?
Only if something's going horribly wrong for Iowa.
SMU kind of laid waste to the Mean Green on Saturday night, so... Yeah, I don't anticipate it's going to be a close game, but you never know how things play out as far as that is concerned.
Mike, you surprised at all that Zach Johnson didn't make the President's Cup team?
No.
Didn't really deserve it, did he?
Well, they only have two at-large spots on that. Seems like Phil Mickelson's going to get one by default. And there were other players. Charlie Hoffman missed out on making the team by... microfiber, so they gave him the other spot. And there's a lot of good players.
Yeah, there are. All right, Mike, we will continue to read your stuff at thegazette.com and on Twitter at Halas. Always appreciate it, and we will look forward to talking with you again coming up next Monday.
Very well.
All right, thanks, Mike.
Bye.
350. We're going to take a break. As we get to break, we're going to give you a chance to win that Dr. Pepper prize pack, 24-pack of regular or diet Dr. Pepper, some Dr. Pepper prizes, some KGYM prizes. Going to go out to caller number 6, 319-366-1600. That's 319-366-1600. Back with more after this.
There's no better time than right now to protect your family. So if you're like me and have been putting off getting term life insurance, you have to call SelectQuote. Here's the SelectQuote difference. Most companies give you one option, one policy, and one rate. But SelectQuote gives you options, lots of options. SelectQuote shops and could get you up to 15 options from highly rated life insurers. I want you to make the free call today and review your options. Call 1-800-290-0303. SelectQuote has been in business since 1985. I trust them and their licensed U.S. agents because they've already protected over 1.2 million families. For example, a 40-year-old male that takes cholesterol medication could get $500,000 in life insurance for under $25 a month. That could be your cost to protect your family. I want you to give SelectQuote a call at 1-800-290-0303 or go to SelectQuote.com today for a totally free personal quote. 1-800-290-0303. That's 1-800-290-0303. Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Premium could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
DEPACO is a local financial cooperative that gives back to its members, like me. Just for keeping and growing my savings and services with them, my share was $200. They call it thank yous. Extra money I use to spoil the grandkids. And it makes me feel like $1 million.
At a financial cooperative, members are owners. It's member participation that powers DEPACO Community Credit Union. Thank yous is money in your pocket for your participation in the credit union through saving, borrowing, and spending. Last year, DEPACO members shared in more than $2.85 million in thank yous. How will you use yours?
Get a gym membership.
Go to the movies.
Donate it to charity.
Pay down my student loan.
Add to my retirement savings.
Buy that purse I just saw.
Learn more at DEPACO.com/thank yous. Participate, cooperate, accumulate. The more you use DEPACO, the more you're thanked. Equal housing opportunity, federally insured by NCUA.
These are the $25 MediaCom's taking off the price of its Extreme packages every month for a whole year. That's right. MediaCom's taking $25 a month off its Extreme packages for a whole year. Just show them your current bill from the satellite TV or slow DSL service you've got now. You'll get up to 100 megabit internet with matching Wi-Fi speeds, TiVo DVR, over 230 channels, free on demand, and nationwide calling. Extreme packages with TV, internet, and phone are as low as $24.99 per service a month for 1 year when bundled. Plus, for a limited time, choose a free 1 year bonus, either Showtime or a speed boost up to 200 megabits. Just get out your current provider's bill and call MediaCom at 1-800-SIMPLIFY for details. That's 1-800-SIMPLIFY.
Limited time offer available to qualify new MediaCom customers switching from a competitive TV or HSD service provider. Prices do not include installation, modem rental, activation, taxes, fees, and sports and broadcast surcharges. Internet speeds may vary and a monthly data usage allowance applies. Additional charges and restrictions may apply. Not available in all areas.
When you are on your way up, a connection may have changed the trajectory of your career. Return the favor at the Innovation Expo, Tuesday, September 19th, the state's largest entrepreneurial showcase. Come meet Iowa's best and brightest and be part of Iowa's next big idea. Tracks include the Seed and Venture Forum and a business showcase. Your success can inspire these entrepreneurs to grow Iowa's economy with their ideas. Attend EDC Inc.'s Innovation Expo, September 19th at the Coralville Marriott. Details at edcinc.org.
Shifting gears is what it takes sometimes to move forward. PMX Industries in Cedar Rapids is looking for some special people like you who view life a bit differently. You're intrigued by the thought of working all night when the rest of the world isn't. You like the freedom and the pay night work offers, plus overtime. Shifting gears with PMX Overnight offers stellar health benefits with medical, dental, and vision, coupled with rock-solid retirement benefits. Working the overnight shift at PMX isn't for everyone, but shifting gears may be perfect for you. Learn more at ipmx.com.
Two hosts born and raised in Eastern Iowa, talking Eastern Iowa sports. Scott Unash and Mark Dukes on the Gym Class, KGYM.
All right, thanks to Michael Laws for joining us. Cal Eldred will join us coming up on Tuesday. Wednesday, Chris Liss and Scott Docterman from Land of Ten will be joining us. Thursday, we're at the tailgate at Cedar Rapids, Washington, before the Warriors in Linmar on Thursday night. And then on Friday, John Cranton will join us, Dave Barrett, Barnett. Dave Barnett. Why did I say Barrett for? Dave Barnett, play-by-play voice of North Texas, will join us, and we'll have the pick six as well. All that coming up. Poll question, Mark, KGYMRadio.com.
Yep, it's running about 50-50 right now in terms of responses. The question is, was Saturday's Seahawk game the best one in the modern era? Yes or no?
Go ahead and vote. KGYMRadio.com. It's brought to you by Emil's Hideaway. Also, some NFL news, and not good news for Iowa native David Johnson, depending on who you believe, because there are reports that David Johnson may even play this week. There are reports he could be out 12 weeks. There are reports he could go on IR. I don't think anybody knows as of this moment with the Arizona Cardinals. We know this, Andrew Luck is not going to play this week. He's been ruled out already for the Indianapolis Colts and is not, according to Adam Schefter of ESPN, is not ready to play anytime soon. the Colts.
David Johnson going down with a wrist injury, and he's consulting several specialists about what to do. So I'm sure that announcement will be coming up very soon. If you're a fantasy owner of David Johnson, like Scott Unash is, what would you do?
Cry a lot. No, it'll be all right. We'll get through it all. Got to look at the big picture. Big picture in all this situation right there. Midwest teams, your Bears did well yesterday. They didn't win, but you had to be proud of them.
I was not only proud, but surprised. 23-17 loss to Atlanta and inside the 10-yard line with four downs to go. I'd take my chances on winning that game most times, but it didn't happen. I was encouraged. Tariq Cohen, if you're not...
I like him.
He is electric, and I don't think he's a one-game wonder by any means. I think he's going to be dynamic along with Jordan Howard in that backfield. Glennon was just okay. He's serviceable. Let him, you know, to a comeback, but... Yeah, I was encouraged.
Yeah, the Bears did all right yesterday. The other Midwest teams, of course, the Chiefs on Thursday night did very, very well. We'll find out about the Vikings tonight. Colts were awful, and I don't think it's going to get any better anytime soon. Detroit did well.
Detroit did well.
How Packers, about Green Bay's defense?
They did very well, yeah.
They really performed well. Mike Daniels had a terrific game yesterday for
He's
the Packers.
He's a star.
Yeah, did a terrific job, and yeah. But that's week one. Overreaction Monday, right?
We'll see about the Vikings tonight, right?
Yeah. They are the early game. We have the late game on 107.5 and 106.3 FM, KGYM, coming up tonight, brought to you by Mediacom, as it will be the L.A. Chargers in Denver to take on the Broncos. That will be at 8:45. Cyclone Call-In Show coming your way tonight, brought to you by Lisa Nolan, Realtor.com. Todd Rommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn coming up next.
Look at your hands. What have they been doing lately? Being softly conditioned by life indoors, or are they the restless instruments of change?